The Turkish lira is seeing its worst week in at least a decade, as losses for the last 5 days total 14%. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunes. Good morning. Turkey's troubles this week come on top of an already bruising year. With a fresh tumble today, the lira has so far dropped 36% against the US dollar this year, while inflation has shot up to nearly 16% and its main stock index lost nearly a sixth of its value. The BBC's Victoria Craig has more.
Foreign investors are becoming increasingly concerned that Turkey's growth binge is leading the nation's economy to the brink of disaster. The country's finance minister is expected to unveil the latest plan for the economy in a couple of hours, but PIMCO's portfolio manager Yakov Arnopolin says it seems Turkey is blissfully unaware of its mounting problems.
There's this notion that until the current lira weakness is really felt in the economy, really felt on the street, there's going to be huge reluctance by the authorities to do anything.
With interest rates near 18%, many economists argue rates need to rise even further to combat red-hot inflation. But President Erdogan, who won re-election in June, opposes higher rates, calling them, quote, the mother and father of all evil. To soothe frayed nerves, the government could also seek assistance from the International Monetary Fund or institute capital controls. But PIMCO's Arnopolin says the more likely scenario is continued inaction.
President Erdogan, he has a very independent streak, and the measures that IMF would recommend would hardly be palatable to him. There's a lot that they could do that we don't think they will do. Hiking rates, IMF, the economy will suffer, and we'll see, I think, in the second half, it's going to be pretty dire numbers.
In addition to economic upheaval, investors are also keeping tabs on souring relations between the U.S. and Turkey. Sanctions on two Turkish government officials were enacted this week over the detainment of an American pastor on espionage and terrorism charges. In response to this week's turmoil and a report the ECB is worried European lenders may be overexposed to Turkish assets, President Erdogan told citizens to ignore the lira's plunge, saying, quote, if they have dollars, we have our people, our righteousness, and our God. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are lower today on worries that trouble in Turkey could spread to other markets. The UK's FTSE 100 is lower alongside other European benchmarks. Fresh data showed the British economy expanded at a rate of 0.4% in the second quarter, matching expectations. Vacationers travelling in Europe today may find themselves with a long wait at the airport. Hundreds of pilots with the budget airline Ryanair are striking in Germany, Belgium, Sweden and the Netherlands, leaving more than 70,000 passengers with cancelled flights. Simon Calder is a travel journalist.
You've got action taking place across Europe. The International Transport Workers Federation is really behind the coordination of both the pilot strikes that we've seen today and also the cabin crew strikes we saw at the end of July. Really just taking the view that the only thing which is going to persuade Ryanair to do the right thing is industrial action on a massive scale. And yet, 5 out of 6 Ryanair flights are taking off as normal.
Does that mean there won't be much of a financial hit for Ryanair? Because I believe the airline is supposed to put people on other flights, even other airlines' flights, if they can't get on their own flight because it's been cancelled.
The actual financial cost of today's action is probably only of the order of $1 million. But of course, any airline is harmed much more financially by perceptions of potential strike action in future. And if the amount of industrial action we're seeing continues at this rate, we will certainly see a drop off in demand for Ryanair, which it will meet by cutting fares. But that's definitely going to dent its profitability. And what investors want to know is, at what point does one side blink and we get the settlement that inevitably is going to arrive, but possibly only after quite a war of attrition?
Simon Calder. India is one of the world's largest tea producers, but the local industry is in serious trouble as it tries to balance profits and worker wages in an increasingly competitive global market. The BBC's Rahul Tandon has been speaking to leaf pickers at a tea garden in the state of Assam.
There is no other work. If the garden shut down, then there is no hope for us. We will die of starvation.
The cost of producing a kilogram of tea has gone up to around 175 rupees, and it only fetches about 140 at most auctions. Tea workers get 115 rupees a day in this part of Assam. That's just less than $2. Though with the benefits they get, it adds up to more than that. The Assam government wants that basic wage to be raised. I've come to the offices of the Indian Tea Association. India may produce 40% of the world's black tea, but the market here is growing by less than 3% a year, and foreign sales have barely risen in 70 years. Production costs are going up by 12% every year. So there's a lot for the secretary of the association, Arijit Raha, to think about.
A 5% expansion in the overall tea area could lead to as much as 40% reduction in the tea price. Now that is frightening. So I think we need a global overarching policy and see how best we could grow enough tea so that people remain sustainable and there is enough tea to drink. Oversupply is something which we are grappling with.
The problem is that Africa has its own issues. They're not going to be concerned about what's happening in the Indian tea industry. They'll just see this as competition. If they can provide a price lower than you and people buy it, that's tough for the Indian market.
Every tea producing country has this issue of a labor intensive structure and would have a similar issue on the wage cost.
India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi was a young man who used to sell tea to passengers at India's railway stations. He's now in charge of its economy. The owners of the gardens and its workers are hoping that he can find a solution to stop the trouble that's brewing in one of India's largest industries.
Rahul Tandon reporting there. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.